B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think a lot of this is just the leverage game where Brady and his camp, they know the end result. They've asked Tom, what do you want? I want to be back with the Patriots, but I want respect and I want to get paid. And so now they've orchestrated a strategy to get that to happen. It's sort of like, remember the scene in Hunt for Red October where they're chasing the Russian submarine and they're like, well, you know, where are these Russian subs going? They're like, you know, they're banging their sonars. Where are they going? And they're driving the sub to, you know, the place that they want them to go. And I think I think Tom Brady's camp is banging the drum to get the Patriots and specifically the Crafts to engineer the end result that they want, and that's Tom back with the Patriots.
That's Greg Bedard this morning on Toucher and Rich right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bedard thinks Brady wanted to be back all along, wants to be back currently, has told his representatives that, and his representatives have said, okay, do this. And that all of this is a grand scheme to be back in New England with the money and respect that he desires. I think it's all orchestrated. That it's him giving the image that he is going to leave, that he's going to entertain all these other offers, he's going to talk to other teams, when at the end of the day he knows he wants to be back in New England, he doesn't want to go anywhere. I find it entirely believable. On a side note, the Hunt for Red October.
Sean Connery.
So as Bedard brings up there, you know,
awesome sub.
Is Tom Brady about to do a crazy Ivan? Okay. That's a question I have.
To the port or starboard?
Bottom of the hour? What's he do at the bottom of the hour?
To the starboard, sir!
Remember the scene in Hunt for Red October where they're chasing the Russian submarine and they're like, well, you know, where are these Russian subs going? They're like, you know, they're banging their sonars. Where are they going? And they're driving the sub to, you know, the place that they want them to go.
I don't know if that's what they did. I mean, they were, first of all, that they heard something in the water that ended up being a Caterpillar drive, Beetle, right? That's got to be man-made.
Oh, it was a well.
But the computer thought it was a well, as Zolak says, as we say in English, a whale, or a seismic event. But really, I believe the captain was just going where he wanted to go.
Correct.
Do we have the audio from that, Jim?
Remember the dispatch we got about Russian subskippers running the Canis Ridge at high speeds because they had hyper-accurate surveys of the underwater canyons?
Yeah, yeah, Redwood 1.
And the front door to those canyons was a formation called Thor's Twins, right?
Yeah.
Well, look. Right into Redwood 1.
Captain, you may think I'm crazy, but I'll bet that magma displacement was actually some new Russian sub, and it's headed for the Iceland coast.
Huh. Have I got this straight, Jonesy? A $40 million computer tells you you're chasing an earthquake, but you don't believe it. And you come up with this on your own.
Yes, sir.
Including all the navigation there.
I've got all the...
Relax, Jonesy. You sold me.
Is this on Netflix?
Ooh.
I didn't watch that tonight.
See, Ramius wanted to go to the Iceland coast. They weren't driving.
What a badass name, too. Ramius.
So, I watched this movie by chance last week.
Shut up!
Fantastic. I kid you not.
Fantastic movie.
Great movie.
Scott Glenn.
My wife didn't seem to agree. In fact, the hour I spent watching that movie, because in a hotel room, you've only got one TV.
Right, right.
In a different country.
That's pretty
limited
cool they
stations,
had that on.
But it was on, I want to say, I think it was Showtime Extreme, maybe? Yeah,
it's an extreme movie.
All right, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So this is interesting. Sense. The hotel didn't have Showtime, but had Showtime Extreme. I'm like, where's the first Showtime?
Well, that's what happens when you go to them swinging resorts.
Yeah, good
Everything
thing
is
your kids
extreme.
Didn't turn on
What's that?
Tim asked me, he's like, what did you do when the kids went to bed? I'm like, well, we had adjoining rooms. So the kids were in their room and we were still able to function as adults.
Oh, yeah. I know what that means.
What was the name of the series?
Ba-boom!
What was the name of the series with the Asian lady?
So
it was always on Spankamax.
Let me just say,
late at night.
That movie, Hardy, that movie holds up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that movie holds up. Still a good movie.
Of course.
And it's Sean Connery.
A thin Alec Baldwin. It's a little unsettling. Scott Glenn, still a badass.
He's screaming at the guy to keep the helicopter going. You've got 10 minutes of spare fuel. You're going to keep this thing. And then he lets himself go, and they're going to pull him out of the water. All of it's great.
Yes, we have a 10-minute reserve, but I'm only allowed to tap into that in a time of war.
If you don't do that, that's exactly what we're going to have. And he taps into that reserve.
How the hell do you remember that line?
He remembers everything for every freaking movie. It's unbelievable.
You're sick.
You're strange like that, but... Which sub movie was better, that or Down Periscope? I know you saw Down Periscope with Kelsey Grant.
Actually, you know what? I'll take over over both of those. Crimson Tide. Crimson Tide is badass. Denzel and Gene Hackman.
Good one.
What you talking about?
'90s movies here. Good, solid '90s movies.
Yep. They don't make them like that anymore. You know what we watched the other day with the kids? Indiana Jones. I'm like, they don't make movies like this anymore.
Good movies.
Look at the screen. Look at the screenshots. Mm. And the Temple of Doom. Mm. I'm like, this is badass.
Oh, and the guy, Temple of Doom, is when he sticks the hand right into the chest, right? Pulls out his heart?
Yes.
Kalima, Tomtika.
Kalima.
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 Kalima. Kalima. And he breaks it and grabs it.
They don't make movies like that anymore.
Kalima. All right. Anyway, I don't know that the analogy works here with Brady.
Kalima.
I believe.
Kalima.
Okay. I believe it.
When's
like Brady's running some big, you know, thing for show right now.
How many days we got till the legal tampering period starts? Because it's not technically
16.
The start. Okay, so
I don't know.
Exactly 3 weeks from 10 minutes ago.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
Noon on Monday the 16th.
Milestone Jim.
Weirdo.
Johnny on the spot. 3 weeks from 10 minutes ago, damn it.
My favorite week of the year.
You'd be perfect on the sub.
Why don't you go paint your office?
Does that include the leap year day?
During our show, that Monday the 16th, it starts.
It's not going to be your show anymore, Jim.
Yep. You're going to be sitting there punching
your
papers.
Show.
That's right. Our show.
Yes. We'll get to that. Jim's leaving us. Oh. Promoted. He's management now.
I told him don't.
He's management.
I said, don't go get no corporate on my ass, too, because I got visions for Jim's office. It's like
Vision
Mitch.
Vision board?
Yeah, when like Mitch from old school. Yeah, like Mitch of Palooza. We're releasing Jim out into the wild again, and we're going to hang stuff on the walls. We're going to get TVs and... You have a beer fridge in there, a dartboard.
You just want him to do the whole floor in sand?
That'd be great. Sand. We can put a...
Be awesome. Put an umbrella
we'll bring your
in
master,
there.
We'll bring your master's
Beach
flag.
Chairs.
Bring a master's flag. Stick it in right there. A couple of Adirondacks.
Right. How about a little putt-putt in there? That'd be nice.
Not enough room. What are we going to do with those little shelves like they stored those CD things on?
I don't know.
We got to figure out something for that.
Nips.
Yes.
Line them up with
yes.
nips.
Yes, strips of nips. Yes.
Shot glasses. Shot glass collection is going to go by.
We should start doing that wherever we go.
That was the last guy.
Let's get... Jim needs one of those like mood-setting lights, you know, so you don't put on the fluorescent. Because the fluorescents will give you headaches, if like our stuff here. If you sit here and stare at these canister lights all day. Jim needs one of those little soft tabletop, you know, mood lights.
What would Zoe put his money on with Brady? That we discussed this briefly earlier. What's the money on? Also, playoff expansion. And a 17th game in the NFL. All that's on the table. I promise we'll go to calls next if you're there. 617-779-0985. All that on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Another one bites dust. Dun-dun-dun-dun. And another one bites dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites dust. Ooh. gonna get you too. Another one bites dust. I actually like this song. Just a club version. Another one bites dust. Accelerated. Remember when Juggalo sent this?
Is that
stuff?
What this is?
No.
What is this?
Dua Lipa.
Oh, okay.
Bites dust.
But this is perfect for a matchup. A mashup, that is. With another one bites dust.
Feels like Florida. Hey, want some more rosé? Sure.
How was Florida last week?
Florida was good. Went to Lauderdale for a day, so it was nice to go there without the Super Bowl. All the ridiculous traffic.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, very nice.
Nice. 617-779-0985.
I'm not going to get that song on my head now. So where would I put my money? If I had to choose on Brady.
Yeah, where's your money? What happens?
He stays. Because at 43, and I keep trying to do this, I know he wants to put the pressure on him and understand what Greg's saying. It sounds like he's a little bit informed, like maybe he talked to somebody from the Brady side of it. You know, and that seems like that's the case to try and push the hand of the Patriots, right? Because the deadline's coming, you're getting to that point. I really, based on what Brady has said over the years, how much he values his time with his family, right? You got to fill that bucket up. I've learned to reprioritize my off seasons now. I'm in a different place. You go anywhere else, everything goes back to rookie here, bud. And I don't think he wants to do that. He knows it's turnkey here. Casario's here. Belichick. Most important thing, Belichick's here. They're going to win games. They need each other. Owner's still here. Great ownership. Belichick. I said Casario. You know, Josh is still here. It's Josh's offense. You know, get him a couple pieces. Maybe trade for OBJ to show him something. Like, that would be huge. Something like that. Because you choose to go anywhere else, whether it's Las Vegas, whether it's Tennessee, and I know there's institutional knowledge with the coach. It's still your offense. You need to implement it. You need to be the new Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning thus became the coordinator for Denver. It's his offense.
Sure.
You know? Does Tom want to do that at 43?
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Manning didn't have a choice.
You know, I mean, but
Manning did not leave Indy.
Manning was hurt.
Right, that's a by big choice. Difference. It wasn't like he was... You know, hitting this free agency situation and
that pisses me off. People
complain for it. Like, it's not the same thing.
They're not the same. It's two completely different situations. You know, they sucked for Luck. They knew they were going to draft Luck. They had a contingency plan. Peyton had nerve damage in his neck. He went overseas to get operated on. He had stuff sent to a strip mall. Human growth hormone to help recovery. Peyton was hanging on to everything to continue to play and find a way to get healthy. He was hurt. Thomas not hurt. So, but again, what's the number? What's the number?
If Peyton Manning could have stayed in Indianapolis, would he have chosen to stay there?
I think so. Yes.
I think so too.
Yes.
I don't think he would have chosen through free agency to leave and go to the Broncos. Different situation.
Right.
You know, he dealt with what he was, you know, he just had a certain hand that was dealt to him and he responded to it.
Yep.
Brady's got a choice. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He could sit down, try and get a deal done, and I think he will. I still believe that. I believe that all along, that the odds of him staying are greater than going. I still believe that now, but I really do think
like the reporters,
that it
they
will
haven't
be
talked.
Better for everybody if Brady does get the deal done prior to the 18th.
I agree with that.
I think it's better for everybody if it's done before then. Because I think it is easier, monetarily speaking, to move the money around, split it over a couple of years. Jim was talking to us during a break, and he said, fine, if voidable years are out, which is the newest contraption that they've used,
right,
you could still sign a longer-term deal with non-guaranteed years in it. Other players have had that, right?
Yeah.
Where money's not guaranteed, you're paying out big bonus money, you've got non-guaranteed years at the end where you can spread things out. Although, I will say this. Under that scenario, Jim, right? Isn't there an acceleration of a cap hit for a bonus when you cut that player?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if it's a 3-year deal, if you're worried about the $13 million, you make the signing bonus $39 million, 13 per year over 3 years, and you push the $13 million 2 years down the road.
Into a year that, do you plan on the player being here or not?
No.
No. The rookie, okay, but you would have a rookie on a, if you cut like the a player, rookie on a $1 million deal.
But if you cut the player, then there's an acceleration of the bonus.
Yeah, $13 million. Mm-hmm. Instead of paying it this year, you're paying it 2 years from now.
I get what you're saying. So you're just going to move the $13 million to another year.
And by doing, you just do that by giving Brady an upfront, whatever the amount you want to move down the road, you give him upfront.
Yeah, that's true. You could do it that way.
Sure.
It still isn't, but it's not ideal. It's probably far more manageable to get him signed beforehand and split it up over the next 2 years and be done with it.
So here's another
Does it stop the deal from happening?
No, I agree with you. It doesn't prevent the deal from happening, but Brady knows it's better for everybody to get it done before then. And if he doesn't flinch, so to speak, and get to the table and work to get a deal done, then I think it's going to tell us something about where his head is at on this process. And so, that's sort of my point, Artie, from earlier, is that it's not that it can't be done. It's that he knows the circumstances, and if he really wants it done, he should go to them before then and try and get it done. And if he doesn't, I think that's a tell. I think he is ready to walk away and leave it behind.
Nothing magical is going to happen in the next 3 weeks that he doesn't already know. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
To your point. So
right.
Here's what they've been saying all along, too. We aren't going to get Gronkowski again. Okay, so if there's no contingency plan, unless you really believe Stidham's the plan. I think Stidham can be a fallback plan here. But say the ultimate date hits. Say that Monday hits and free agency starts. We're here on the show. They don't sign Brady back yet, and he hits the open market.
I'm getting nervous.
We don't know where he's going. Do they just sit there and go, and we wait for Tom? Or, dude, we try to get something done. At starter, we're not getting left in the dust like we did at the tight end position.
That's why it's not just on Tom either.
We got to go start to talk to quarterback.
They should both want to make a move here before that day. You're right. Both sides.
They're not going to sit there with their hands in their pockets playing pocket pool. Hell?
You know, someone is going to have to want to start the conversation at some point.
Let's go have some coffee.
It's like they're both sitting there waiting for the other one to pick up the phone.
You want a cup of coffee?
Right?
Yeah.
Follow me. That's what they're trying to do.
That was from Heat.
And that's like your guy in The Office, Michael Scott.
Oh.
I'm choosing not to speak first.
Choosing not to speak. My lady. Yes. My lady's just...
And I mean, that's what's going on here.
Yep. Dwight, you pick the plan.
So someone's going to want to do it. And if they want Brady back and he wants to be back, stop it already. Just get to the table and figure out if this is doable or not. Stop waiting around for the other one to pick up.
This feels like that the scene from Footloose. The two tractors are heading towards each other. Mm. Who's gonna turn off?
Well, Ren wanted to turn off, but his shoelace got caught on the clutch.
He ended up getting a girl, too.
Yeah.
Lucky guy.
Ariel.
Oh, nice name.
She was well endowed.
Stuff something in, huh? Put a sock. Something.
Stop.
Jesus. That was the 80s, though.
Bruins have made a trade, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh!
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right.
What do you got?
According to Elliot Friedman. Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada. He says Danton Heinen has been traded to Anaheim for Nick Ritchie. Familiar with Nick Ritchie?
Oh, I can tell you all about him.
Lionel Richie?
I don't think he's related to Lionel Richie. He's got 8 goals this season. And I don't know much about Nick Richie. So
he's a left shot.
Someone's going to have to tell me about Nick Richie.
Championship.
From Ontario.
Hey.
Former first-round pick, 10th overall back in 2014.
Yeah, depth.
Tell me about Nick Richie, people.
Well, he signed an entry-level contract with the Ducks back in 2014, turned pro a year later, put up 30 points in 38 games with San Diego of the AHL in the 2015-16 season. I called up midseason to the Ducks, became a regular in the 16-17 season, finished with 18 points, despite averaging less than 13 minutes of ice time in 77 games.
His older brother, Brett Ritchie, he was taken in the second round by the Stars.
Brett Ritchie's his brother?
2011 NHL draft, yeah.
All right, then. All right. 617-779-0985. That's another Bruins deal that's been done. It doesn't feel like a blockbuster, though.
Kind of feels like they're going for it, right?
24-year-old Nick Ritchie, 6'2", 230-pound left winger.
Dan Heinen can play ping pong, though.
It doesn't feel like the sort of the significant move we were looking for, but okay.
It's not over yet.
It's not over yet. Deadline coming up in 2.5 hours now. Jim's in Leominster. Hey, Jim. Jim hung up on us. Did you hang up on him?
No.
What were you clicking over there?
Nothing.
You just hung up on him.
I went to the screen. No, I didn't, you dummy. I went right to the screen.
Oh, he's defensive. That's how I know you hung up on him.
No, I didn't hung up on him.
You hung up on him.
I did not.
I think you did. I put him on, and then you clicked it again, and you hung up on Jim.
Sorry, Jim.
Jim, call us back.
Okay.
617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls coming up next. Also, the expanded playoffs, which I don't like. Zoe doesn't like.
Nope.
Hardy doesn't like it. We're all against it.
Nothing like uneven games.
We're all completely against that. In the 17-game schedule, at least one more team will be getting in. So Brady will have more teams he can look at and say, hey, the Raiders? Yeah, we just got to get to 9 wins to get in. Can I be a 9-win quarterback with the Raiders to get into the playoffs?
That's a good point,
Maybe
too.
Maybe Brady's thinking of it that way.
Brady needs more money now. He's playing an extra game.
Yeah, it'd be a 9-8 team.
Now, instead of 16 games, Tom's older now. You got to pay me for an extra game now.
All right, we'll get back to your calls coming up. Here are the headlines. Bruins just pulled off another trade. Nick Ritchie to the Bruins from Anaheim for Danton Heinen. That just happened.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak, holding wrecks and boiling diesels, steam at 45 degrees. The time has come.
617-779-0985. There's a report that the Patriots are interested in a trade. You ready for a name? Are you ready for a rumor?
Yeah.
The rumor be that they are interested in Baltimore Ravens tight end Hayden Hurst.
Now, the Ravens use 3 tight ends. So, and they're pretty good in the passing game. They're tight ends. They run a lot of crossing routes, a lot of bows. All 3 tight ends could catch. They're not afraid to throw it to any of them. And that's part of the problem when you learn how to try to cover this team. Whether it was the 2 backs coming out, you know, they got a couple guys on the outside, but it's really a tight end-based offense.
This rumor is based on a report from the Florida Times Union's Eugene Frenette. He says the Jaguars and the Patriots are both exploring a pre-draft trade for Hayden Hurst. Frenette reports whether it happens will depend on what draft capital teams are willing to part with. Hayden Hurst is a former first-round pick. He was picked in the first round in 2018 and was 25th overall out of South Carolina. He has been down the depth chart for the Ravens. He caught 30 passes for 349 yards last year. Had a couple of touchdowns as well.
He was their first-round pick before Lamar Jackson in that first round.
Yes. Lamar Jackson was 30, 31. What number
32.
Was it?
They traded back in the last pick after Sony Michel was 31.
Right after the Patriots. Okay. So they picked this guy before they picked their quarterback. Right.
He was in between Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel.
Hayden Hurst, former first-round tight end, has struggled to find playing time, has been down the depth chart a bit, And 2 years into his career, the Ravens are willing to part with him, and the Jaguars and Patriots are in on Hayden Hurst.
Went to South Carolina.
He did.
Wow. He's got some nice size. Their tight ends are pretty big, though.
6'4", 260 is what he's listed at. He's 26 years old. He spent 2 years in the Pirates minor league system as a baseball player before going to the NFL.
He's already bitching about, not catching enough passes, huh? Playing for the Ravens.
Oh, he's complaining.
Yeah. Said he wants to catch more balls. If you look at the tweet.
I mean, but how was that said? I mean, there's complaining. They're not throwing me the ball enough. And then there's, hey, I want to do more. I want to catch more passes. Those could be the same thing, but said very differently.
Yeah, so
this guy
Eugene Fournette said that 2 months ago. He told me he wants more opportunities to catch passes. Stay tuned.
Did you mention his cap number?
I did not. I'm sure it's
1.4
favorable.
1.4
sure.
Favorable.
Good value there.
That would be his base salary because the Ravens would be responsible for the prorated signing bonus.
Former first round pick that maybe didn't work out. That
they would take a hit though if they traded him. They would actually gain $3 million on the cap. They wouldn't lose anything off the cap.
Right. So the question would be, do the Ravens want to do it because they're being offered something good in terms of a draft pick?
And would the Ravens do it
If the Ravens look at him and say, this guy's a bust. We don't think he's good. We want to get something back for him. We want to get rid of him. What's that require? Second round pick? What does that take?
You don't have a second round pick. You have Mohamed Sanu.
I'm just throwing it out there in theory. What does that take?
Shut up, Jim.
To get a guy who's 2 years into the league, a former first-round pick, 2 years in.
That's great value for them.
And they don't think he's, they don't think he's going to make it.
Maybe it's a disappointing player for a disappointing player swap.
Could be a player-for-player deal. Who do the Patriots have that they could fit into that category?
Any running backs?
No, they're
so
not going
to. So would ship Sony Michel in a heartbeat
for
Hayden
Hurst. No, you wouldn't.
Yes, he would. He was all over Sony Michel last year.
Sony Michel to the Ravens for this guy?
I'd debate it.
Would Brady do it? That's the only question that really matters, right? Would Brady do it?
That doesn't feel like a fair deal.
Well, based on Sony's rookie year, but if you don't have a fullback or if you don't have tackles to come off the line of scrimmage,
let me say this.
Sony screwed.
This guy had, 30 catches last year with a guy who can't throw?
And really spread it around to two other tight ends that had to share it.
Can I ask you this? Would you rather have Sony Michel and Matt Lacoste or Damian Harris and Hayden Hurst?
I don't think Damian Harris is any good, from everything you hear.
Didn't Hurst catch a couple balls?
Okay, running back off the street in Hayden Hurst.
Yeah.
No, Garrett Blunt 2.0 in Hayden Hurst.
I could see the case. I think running backs are generally a luxury piece. I don't think they're a necessity all the time. I think they're interchangeable. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. If you're telling me Hayden Hurst is going to be good. If Hayden Hurst is going to be good, then, yeah, a tight end to me is far more valuable for the Patriots than Sony Michel.
His hands are 10 inches. That's
good. What? You're looking at his hand size?
Yeah. Look at his size, yeah.
What was Matt Lacoste's hand size? Do you know off the top of your head?
Small. It was 7. Like mini me.
Little tiny hands?
Little me.
What was Ben Coates' hand size?
Big.
Big hands.
Hell yeah.
Large.
Just throw the ball here. Put the ball right here. Put it right on the 8. Yep. Okay.
Will do, boss.
4th and 1. Let's go. We'll split right, scat right. Throw ball to Coates. On 1. Ready? Break.
Throw the ball to Coates. He will push whoever is near him.
That's how I called it. I called
he will knock them down, and then he will catch the football.
Ben, better push off. I'm throwing the ball to you. Come on.
No problem, bud.
Yep.
No problems, though.
I got hit. I was looking to the right. I got hit. That sidearm right to Coates.
All right, so Hayden Hurst, a possibility as a tight end target for the Patriots. Paul's in Rhode Island. Paul.
Hey, welcome back, boys.
Hey.
Hey, I missed you.
I missed you, too. Listen, let's talk about the first year of Brady, okay? I'm going to go 36-25, okay? And how about if everybody else took a pay cut that dropped the ball? Well,
what's 36 stand for? I'm confused. 36-25.
36 million first year, 25 second year. But how about if everybody else takes a pay cut that dropped the balls? And on a number.
Oh, I got you. So you would say Sanu take a pay cut from the balls you drop.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, don't forget, we had a guy that didn't drop a ball for 3 years, and he dropped balls. I mean, he's banged up and duct tape. But you know, let's go down to basics. This guy is going to come back, and so is Devlin. I'm going to make sure that you guys understand something. The owners have the money, okay? They do not want to let Brady go because the brand of Brady in the NFL market cannot afford for Brady to go to another team.
Do you understand?
The owners have the money, cannot afford to let Brady go to another team.
I think 35-26, that's a good starting point.
36-25.
Whatever that was, 35-26.
And 36-25.
25-36-75.
5-15-75. All of that. Yes. 617-779.
Mama, we here.
0985 is the telephone number for you. Yeah, jump on board. We'll talk to you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Couple of quick Bruins items before we get back to your calls. Number one, Nick Ritchie was the guy who blindsided David Backes almost 2 years ago. Actually, more than 2 years ago. January 30th, 2018. Nick Ritchie was the guy that took the shot at Backes. Came up, hit him right in the head. That was Nick Ritchie. So that's one thing we should remember him from. The other thing is this, as Billy Jaffe points out on Twitter, Billy will be with us tomorrow. Correct? 10:50 tomorrow. Billy says Nick Ritchie saves the Bruins $1.3 million in cap space by swapping off Heinen for Nick Ritchie. Well, now we're getting to the bottom of it here, folks.
Clearing some room.
They cleared more room with this move. $1.3 million more in space in addition to the space that the Bruins cleared in the Backes deal.
Huh.
What are they lining up to do today? They're doing something. I
thought it was initially, I looked at Heinen's deal, I thought it was 2 years, 2.8. It's actually 2.8 per season for 2 years. So that's a million. I thought it was like a couple hundred grand. It's more than way more than that.
$1.3 million in space was created with that move. That's what that's all about.
Heinen was making almost $3 million?
Yeah, wow. That's not ideal. Not ideal. So here you go. More room cleared. Is it for that next move? It's got to be at this point. I mean, not that this move would be bad if you're able to move Heinen anyway, but interesting.
Yeah, they would have made two moves and both cleared cap space for what?
For what? I mean, now it could be used, you know, for next season.
Yeah. Like I was saying.
But you've got cap space this season you can use for a rental.
Go for it.
Let's go.
Come on.
Let's go, Bruins. 2 hours and 7 minutes until the NHL trade deadline. Steve's in Fall River on the Patriots and Tom Brady. Hey, Steve.
Could I cut out about the cunt for Red October for a second?
Yes.
I think the two best lines are the scenes were when the letter goes to the Russian commander, and when he's walking in to his office before he reads the letter, he's greeting everybody, yeah, 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 yeah. Then he walks into the office and reads Ramius' letter.
That's right, and says, you've got a letter there from Marco Ramius. Marco.
Opens it up, it's out his. And I do like the other line when the first officer gets popped and they open his shirt up and he's shot dead and he says, I would have liked to have seen Montana.
Yeah, that was a big thing. He wanted to go to Montana, of all things, and own like an SUV or something. Jeep.
I missed the piece of fishing.
Wait a minute, with a fat wife.
Wait, some cows.
I don't know what there that came
with
from.
With a big round American bottom.
Yes.
With some cows and some chickens. I like to feed the chickens.
I can't. I I think that's one of the top 10 war movies, war type movies that there is, in my book.
No papers?
No papers. I drive from state to state in my
I know we've been trying to figure out how much the Patriots can afford to pay Brady, how much we think we should pay, this, that, the other thing. Brady's market's going to be set externally by all the other teams, and the Patriots have a history of misjudging that. They told Deion Branch he wasn't worth $30 million. He's just a slot receiver, and everybody in the media went along with him. He's not a number one. He's not this. He's not that. Not only did Seattle give a number one pick for him, they gave him a $30 million deal. They cut.
Yeah, but Steve, they've also let Hightower, McCourty, Edelman, guys like that go ahead and test free agency and then come back. I think it's different with Brady, though. I mean, of course, if Brady gets to the market,
They've done that disastrously. They did it with Deion Branch disaster. They did it with David Givens. They've done it a lot of times where they said, they also did it with his buddy there, Edelman. The only reason Edelman came back is no one gave a good offer. That could have been completely disastrous, that strategy.
Sure. Yeah, but they were right. They were right. They weren't wrong.
But Brady's different. You're right. If he hits the market, other teams will set his price.
Wait a minute. They put Julian Edelman out on Route 1 with a sign on him, free, please take me. And that's the way, and he's been the most important player on the team since that happened.
And they re-upped him a year ago. After his big game.
They thought Amendola was the replacement. Right. Well, guess what? They were wrong. And the only reason, I think it's pretty lucky that when you let a guy that turns out to be indispensable go to free agency, you put him on a Route 1 and no one picked him up.
Well, I'm not sure, Steve. At that time, when they brought Amendola, that was a Welker thing. That wasn't Edelman. That was letting Welker go. They knew that Welker couldn't take many more hits.
Right, but they should have realized that Edelman was the replacement for Welker.
I think they kind of wanted that, but he was more of a special teamer, you know?
Well, he played one game. I called, you guys went on, I don't think you guys were on the air at that time. I called the other station. I said, Edelman is 80% of the play at Welker was. I wanted it.
Sure, but Steve, they're ultimately right on him. I'm sorry. Like, if you're going to say that the Patriots are not good historically at gauging what a guy's market is, Edelman's a bad example. Could it have backfired? Absolutely. Yeah, you're right about that. But you're talking about two different things.
But other teams, when he hit the market, they didn't know what he was. If it's an outside guy, an inside guy.
If it's about just pegging the market, they were absolutely right on Edelman. Now, whether or not they were right to just let him walk out there, or as he put it, put him out there on Route 1 with a sign that says, take me. I mean, I do agree with you. Like, they should have been able to wrap that up before it ever got to the point where he had to go to New York. But maybe he had an idea that he was worth a lot more and wasn't willing to come to the table and get the deal done. So they said, go ahead. Go out there and see. If you don't like our offer, go talk to somebody else. And then there wasn't really another offer. And so they were able to keep Julian Edelman on a very team-friendly deal, given what Julian Edelman means to the Patriots and has meant to them all these years. I would say the rest of the league is stupid for not figuring out the value that Julian Edelman can add to your football team.
Well, I think what they knew too with Edelman, with Amendola too, was this whole offense. And as Charlie has told us, you know, during Super Bowl week, it's a tight end and slot based offense, and it starts with that slot receiver going back to Troy Brown. So they wore Welker down. You sort of had the next guy in transition with Edelman, but you really weren't sure because he's kind of a punt returner, former quarterback, really wasn't a receiver, but really evolved into the position. But they had to go out and get a guy like Amendola to make sure you had that type of guy to replace Welker if Edelman didn't work out. But they were always ready to go on slot guys.
According to, who is this? Mike Uva, is that his name?
I guess Uva? That's how you say it.
No, Uva. Mike Uva. He has a pronunciation in his profile.
Yep.
He screen grabbed our show and tweeted this. Hayden Hurst's name is floating around with teams interested in adding a tight end. This is from the airwaves of a Boston sports talk radio station. Worth noting, Bill Belichick was on hand to watch Hurst at USC's Pro Day back in 2018. So, Bill obviously has had interest in this player for some time. Add that to a note today. Patriots reportedly, along with the Jaguars, interested in Hayden Hurst, a tight end from the Ravens. John is in the car about the Bruins. What's up, John?
Yeah, not too much. I think it's just to sign Torrey Krug, right? I think that's pretty clear at this point that he's instrumental to the way their power play works. And I know people think Grzelcyk is like a good money replacement, but if you watch the two play, they're similar players, but they're really not the same. Krug is elite defensively, and if they let him go, they lose a huge part of their identity. So I think every million helps now. Losing Backus was so huge, but I think they're still like a million and a half short. And if this allows them to sign him for multiple years, they're in a really good spot.
So I'm with you, but that's more about next season than it is right now. Like, you could get a guy to take up your current space for the rest of the season if he's a rental, and then you still have that space left for Krug in the offseason, right?
I don't know that they need anybody else, though. I think they added two depth forwards. Richie's got good size. He's kind of a grinder. I don't know. Case can really play. I don't think a lot of Boston fans have got to see him play before, but he's very creative as well as having like a very, very good motor. And I think with the emergence of Lauzon, and I mean, they clearly like him. They signed him to a two-year deal, and that guy came out of nowhere. I think they actually have more depth defensively than they thought they would before. Clifton's back now, so they have that's a left and a right shot to rotate out at the seventh spot. I think they're pretty solid. So I think you have to look long-term now, because I don't necessarily agree that this is their last chance. I think they do have a year or two more with the way Pasternak and Marchand are playing.
I don't disagree with that either. I think next year's another opportunity, but that means you're – okay, let's assume it's two more years after this one. And you've got three chances. And here's your first, where you lead the league in points. And you're playing really well. Get greedy. That's what I would say. Get greedy right now.
Yeah.
Be greedy. If you've got cap space, use it. And if it's on a rental, you'll have the cap space for Krug at the end of the year. That's how I look at it. Because I think some of this is about next year's cap and sure. About re-signing Krug.
Krug can still get signed to Brust.
I completely agree with the caller on this, but I think that there's space now between now and the end of the season that could be used for a rental. So rent away. Kevin's in Sudbury. What's up, Kevin?
Hallelujah. Praise Don Sweeney. The hockey gods delivered. Build a statue to the man. He tricked Anaheim into taking a bad contract and a bad player all in 1 week. Dan Heinen is the biggest pile of feathers to ever wear the black and gold. Thank God he's gone. Thank you. Wow. Bye.
I think Sweeney is having a decent week. 75% of David Backus. That's good enough.
That's good.
I don't care that he gave up a first rounder. I don't care that he gave up. Nope. All good. Prospect first rounder. You're going to take 75% of David Backus? Great. Have him. I mean, that was a bad deal that Sweeney did. So that one's on his track record. But I'm dealing in the here and now. You can get that guy off the book somehow, you do it. And he did. He managed to get it done. First round pick. I'm not worried about the first round pick. I'm worried about the here and now. I'm worried about this team not getting all the way to the end of the season and losing to an inferior opponent. Let's not do that again. We lived that last year. St. Louis Blues. Still not over that.
What's that goalie's name?
Stanton, though. I'm just sad. You ever see the movie The Prestige?
No, I don't think I have.
You never saw that one?
No.
There's a character in it that goes by the Great Danton. Never got a chance to work that into conversation.
Damn.
I needed a couple more years to get everyone to watch that movie. Then we could start referring to him as the Great Danton. But he's gone now.
Swing and a miss.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Never even got to swing. Never even got in the batter's box with that nickname.
617-779-0985. How are the Red Sox doing as they get closer to their opening day?
The hot split squad action about to go off in about 2.5 more minutes, Beetle.
Shaughnessy said ball's coming out of Chris Sale's hand pretty nice. It's nice. Good. Johnny on the spot.
Is he going to be ready for opening day?
He thinks he might.
All right, we'll find out more about that. I want to talk about the Red Sox ownership group.
Oh.
They're in a bad way right now. That's coming up after these headlines. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.